Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy New Year's Eve. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials, go there, join the militia live on Twitter X Spaces. At some point this afternoon, the Orange are on a 5-game win streak since losing to UVA. They beat Pitt 81-73. And once the Orange settled in the second half, they pretty much took control. But, you know, it was some first half slippage. And, you know, there was some late second half slippage as well. But thankfully, far enough ahead where that didn't matter. And just the rough edges that need to be cleaned up, I guess, from what I can see. Yesterday was a pretty good day. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. And Syracuse will face off against Duke at Cameron Indoor. We'll let you know what we think about that as well. So since we've last been on, we did talk about Ronde Gadsden coming back next year, but we got also Marlo Wax and Justin Barron, who... Justin Barron, I don't know where he finished in the year, but he had to have finished in the top three. I mean, he played with a club on his arm for weeks and weeks and was still amongst the, you know, he was leading tackles numerous times even through that injury. So, and obviously Marlo Wax is up there too. It's those two guys, right? So,
right.
You know, really a big deal. You talked a lot about player retention, and as far as this year goes, you know, not knowing what we're going to be able to do and what Fran Brown's going to be able to do through the year, and then again next year as far as retention goes. But those are three huge stars on this team that you know, that means a lot. I mean, I think it means it shows a lot. It is obviously a reflection of what Fran Brown's selling, and you know, to have those three guys come back is huge. And it's just all that, it's just, there's not a ton of negativity surrounding the ending of the year as far as the off season goes.
Oh no. I mean, last year we lost guys to the draft, you know, they could have came back, and you know, we also lost guys to other teams because of, you know, NIL money. You know, I'm not really sure, because I don't think, I don't know. I don't know if Justin Barron was thinking about, you know, testing the waters in the NFL, or I always looked at him as, you know, kind of a 4 or 5 year guy type thing. Just because, I mean, he plays great, and he had a great spot in that, you know, 3-3-5, but obviously, you know, being the rover and like a tweener between a linebacker and a safety. But to be able to come back with this coaching staff, especially, you know, Fran Brown being the defensive back coach from Georgia and everything, he has to think that, you know, it wasn't a better opportunity to go anywhere else. And who cares about the NIL money? You know, I want to try to get as good as possible, because maybe this guy can get you in the NFL, because he's gotten so many defensive backs in the NFL. As far as Marlo Wax goes, I would love to have been a fly in the wall to know what was said to keep him to stay, because I do believe that he would have been, you know, drafted. I don't know if top three rounds, but I do believe he would have been drafted. And just the fact of, you know, having all those guys, you know, captains, and, you know, it's not even that they're this talented, and, you know, these guys are captains. These guys are, you know, leaders in the locker room. Like you said, top two leading tacklers, you know, coming back. So these two are really real big, big news to get all these three back.
Yeah. So exciting. And well, I don't think there's really any more balls in the air as far as that goes. So we'll just
Well, you never know. No, it was hard because I didn't even know. I thought Justin Barron. I didn't know that he had any more eligibility.
Well, I can't even keep track of eligibility
anymore. That's what I'm saying. I can't even keep track of that because then they were talking about. I heard someone saying something like, you know, I think Caleb Okwuchukwu was like, you know, I'm going to take my talents to the NFL or this or that. And I'm sitting here, and it made it seem like he had a choice too, right? So, like, I don't know. Like, the whole eligibility thing and that whole COVID thing just really messed up everything. So it's like now, you know, they're all graduating and they still got 2 years left of eligibility. It just it's wild to me. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't know that Justin Barron even had a year to come back. So.
You got me, dude.
I can't keep up.
He wasn't one that was a ball in the air. I mean, you know, we obviously were talking about, we've talked numerous times, even throughout the season, about Gadsden, and then Marlo Wax, I just assumed was gone, to be honest with you. I mean,
me too.
So anyways, kind of a big deal. So, all right, well, let's get into everything. But as always, first, let's hear from Coach.
Very proud of our guys going into halftime, down eight against a very good Pittsburgh team. They've beaten us five out of the last six times, three times in a row, in very similar fashion, kind of close games. And then they kind of separate and break us and get ahead. But I thought our second half was just so composed until the end. I thought we did a really good job. We battled back, you know, especially on the boards, the rebounding. You know, I think we won that one 25-15 or 25-17. Don't fact check me. But again, we won the rebounding, you know, and that's the key for our team to win. I thought we got a great lift from Quadir Copeland and Benny Williams. In particular, you know, I thought Benny was great. I really did. I thought he. You know, he came in with great energy. You can just see it in the last couple of weeks. You know, he's just been kind of, you know, taking that turn, and I'm just so excited for him because he stayed with it. You know, he stayed with it, and that's what it's about, growing. You know, obviously the wins are important, but I'm very happy for him and excited for him. And Quadir, you know, again, you know, he did, you know, he's been playing well, but at the end, you know, he gave me a couple of little stomach aches like he does, but he made the free throw, so I'll let him. You know, I'll just talk to him. But I thought Judah had a really good floor game in the second half. I thought, he kind of settled down and got us into our stuff and made some plays. A huge three by JJ. That was what we needed at that time. And Malik Brown, you know, he was phenomenal. He just, you know, he sets the tone for us on both ends. I thought Naheem was great. I really do. For the minutes that he played, I mean, he had four blocks. You know, it was just one of those games where they had, you know, those big guys out there that could shoot threes. It was just hard for him to get back. They're a very good team. So, but overall, I was just proud of the way this team battled back in the second half. I thought the crowd was phenomenal. You know, they gave us a huge lift. You know, it felt like, you know, the dome. You know, that's what I remember when I played. I'm excited. I'm proud. I mean, we could do some things better. But when you can win a game and, you know, go 3-for-17 from three and still score 81 points, you know you can get better. You know, you can do some things. You know, we can take care of the ball a little bit better. Again, but overall, I'm just excited for this group of guys because, you know, Pittsburgh is a really good team. They've come in here and they beat us. And today, you know, that didn't happen. So I was just happy the way our guys battled.
Talk about the message that you and Benny have taught him. What have your messages been to him as he's worked through some of these early season issues?
I think, you know, it's really just, you know, being focused. You know, take your time. You know, don't listen to the outside noise. Don't try to live up to whatever this stuff is. Just be yourself and relax and play with your teammates. You know, don't try to do things. And again, I'm talking about Benny, but that's what a lot of our young college athletes struggle with, you know, deal with today. You know, it's the media, so much media now. You know, I got different outlets. Everybody has an opinion. They say something here or there. And, you know, if you think that these families and these kids don't read that, they do. And, you know, that impacts them. Whatever you read and put into your mind and your body, that manifests itself. So, you know, I just told him to relax. You know, we're family. You know, we're going to be here. We're going to work, you know, as long as you want to be here. And he, you know, that was, there's nothing else really else to say. Just keep working. And I think he's kind of done that. He's settled down.
Coach, your bench today outscored Pitt 52-17. Seems like over the last five games, that's maybe been one of the missing pieces for this offense. How crucial will that be for the rest of ACC play to have that bench production?
I mean, it's crucial. We don't rely on five guys. We rely on 8, 9, 10 guys, if me be. I'll sound like a broken record. This is how this team is built. This is how this team is going to play. This is how we practice. This is how we, play. So it's always going to be, 8, 9 guys. You know, we depend on, we don't just depend on one guy. Obviously, Jude is our leader. You know, make no mistake about that. And he kind of makes his go. But all these other guys, they come in and they just want to contribute. And that's what we talk about, doing this thing together.
How do you work on Naheem defending the three-point ball?
That's a good question. You know, I thought he did a good job for the most part, but, that's a lot to ask for, 7'4" guy to kind of show and then try to get back. And, again, we got to be better with that because I thought he gave us something. You know, I thought he came out, we got him on a little roll. You know, I thought he was active blocking shots. So, we got to do a little bit more to try to, work with him on that because I kind of want him to stay out there a little bit more. I do want him to stay out there a little bit more. Again, Quad is he's really good. He's still kind of scratching the surface. What I love about Quad Air is that no matter what, mistakes or not, he gives you everything. He fights, and that's I think every coach wants that. I know that guy can play for me. I know some mistakes, but those type of people, they can play for me. That's where, Quad Air is. That's where he's in that area. But all of our guys are like that. Our whole team is like that. So I'm excited about this bunch.
All right. So look, I don't know how big of a win this was yet, but it was a Quad 2 win, and we're seeing kind of more of the same, which is and coming into this game, I was a little nervous. They were down, 8 at the half or something like that? I mean, it was looking like it was going to be a repeat of the past 3 years. And, again, Syracuse shows their resilience and comes out. I think they were -7 on the glass at the half and came back to go +1 at the end of the day. And the shooting really wasn't as good as it's been for Pitt against the Syracuse defense. And, I know that we made a lot of mistakes and as far as turning the ball over and stuff, and it seemed like Pitt made way more, even though it was 15-13.
Right.
So, but it felt like Syracuse has got this way about them, which we kind of talked about last time we were here about, they're making people pay in transition when there's a turnover to be made, and that quad ear dribbling through the legs and around the back and the dipsy dude dipperoo freaking 360 layup. I mean, that stuff is huge. And they break the three-game win streak. I'm extremely happy about that. You got Quadir, Benny, and Brown coming off the bench and scoring 52 points amongst the three of them. And to Pitt's bench, scored 17 there. And, Quadir Copeland, again, I don't know if enough can be said about him. I know Benny had a great game, too, and he was he's absolutely coming into his own. I think that the more time he's out there, I think the better that's going to get. But 13 from 15 from the line for Quadir, and he hit some crucial free throws towards the end of the game because Syracuse gave up a couple threes late, and what was looking like a runaway end of the game quickly became 6 points and looked like could have been some trouble. So, anyways. As far as the game goes, this team is just fun to watch, and you don't have to have Judah doing everything all the time when you've got these guys on the floor. which is great. And to coach's point, 3 for 17, you go 3 for 17, you still score 81 points. I mean, that just goes to show you. We talked about it. We weren't sure if they were going to be able to get in there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. And they did. And I was, yep. I mean, look, I got a lot of confidence in that inside game of the Orange. And, man, it's such a good change of pace from what we're used to seeing with just chucking up threes and trying to, you know, constantly just trying to beat yourself constantly. Yeah. We really haven't seen that this year.
No, and that's really one of the more exciting things, the way they play. Like we talked about, just the old school, you know, way that Syracuse used to play fast and, you know, implement certain things. But, you know, to sit there and get, you know, looking at steals and blocks, you know, stocks, you know, we beat them 18-8, you know. And the thing with steals is, you know, a turnover, you could throw the ball away and it goes out of bounds. We did that a couple of times. And, all right, that's a turnover, but you're not really – you're not getting a run out, right? Like, you're not getting a fast break, you know. You get a block and then you get that rebound or you get a steal, and now you're running the court. You're running fast break. And we play really hard defense man-to-man, and we try to get those steals. And, like, again, how many fast break points? 20. So, and we had 42 points in the paint to their 32, like you said, and they had 5 more offensive rebounds than us. So yeah, the way we've been playing physical inside, the way that those guys have been coming off the bench, Quadir and Malik we've seen, but Benny finally looking, you know, coming into his own. It's almost refreshing, you know. It's fun to watch because I think we've just been so used to the same way for however many years, and now it's something different, and we actually have the team to do it. You know, I don't want to hear people, you know, clamoring for who should start and this because we talked about it. It doesn't matter who starts. You
it
know?
Doesn't matter, there's something to be said about having Taylor, McLeod, and. Who's the other one? Bell out there at the beginning of the game, because I mean, Bell and Taylor are your best outside shooters. I mean, what if they get hot? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if they
right.
don't, then we know what to do. But
right.
those are your guys.
And that's the thing, right? Is you don't want to take away from their confidence and take away from their opportunities of, you know, putting a stamp on the game and actually having a big part of it, right? Like that's something that we've seen them do. That's something that they've proven that they can do. And like you said, I don't know why you would take away, you know, your tallest guy and you'd take away, you know, your two best shooters just because maybe what they didn't shoot that great. And these other guys have been playing better off the bench. Like these guys come off the bench and that's the thing is
they're going to get their time too.
They're going to get their time. And Coach Autry, you know, he's not afraid to make those changes. When he sees it, it's, you know, so we're deep, and people can argue that some of the better players and the guys that are going to close the game will be on the bench to start the game, but they'll be out there at the end. And that's a good thing. I'm glad to see Benny getting, you know, more confident and not having the bad body language. So that's the one thing that with this type of team, if he can keep them all together and he can keep them focused and keep Justin Taylor and Bell and McLeod being okay with only playing less than 20 minutes, even though they're a starter, because some guys on the bench came in and they're just better matchups. Then that's where we're going to win. It should be next man up. If you're just not feeling it or you're not hitting a shot, like Chris Bell went 0-for-4, from the three, and then Copeland comes in and does that, you know, you got to be okay with that. And, you know, that's a fear of mine because obviously everybody wants to play, right? But as long as these guys know they just have each other's back and they know that, you know, that not every game is going to be their game, but it's going to be somebody's, and we're going to get those guys in there and they're all going to play hard regardless. That's really the biggest thing for me. Because you take Malik Brown, Benny Williams, Copeland, that's like a line change in hockey, right?
Yeah.
You know, we just ran first 6 minutes with our starters, and now, okay, let's bring these guys in and maybe possibly go against some of the other team starters that, you know, maybe are still trying to catch their breath off the first, you know, 6 to 8 minutes. So, and there are also guys that just offer different things. Copeland, he drives and passes better than a Beller, a Taylor, but can still guard the same size defender. And Malik Brown is obviously different than Nyheim McLeod. So,
I mean, McLeod had four
blocks in 9 minutes.
Four blocks, pretty. I mean, that's
and
I
a
mean,
steal.
What do you want me to do? I think you know you have, like Coach Autry said, you got big guys that can shoot. He's going to struggle. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to put that on him. I mean, maybe he'll get better, but you know, he does a good job protecting the rim, and that's why he's there. And we've had to go a couple games without a ton of great outside shooting, and they're still getting it done. And I think that's all that matters. And JJ, you know, he got things started pretty decently, and he also finished pretty decently. So, you know, he had a couple early layups to get things going, and then that big three at the end of the game, and mixed with Cordier's foul shots, like I said, you know, it was awesome. It was good to see. And you've got, you know, you heard Coach say, you know, Cordier gives everything all the time. That dude is just a spark, man. He's just a breath of fresh air. I mean, there's they don't come like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, and Malik Brown just gets his hands on everything. I mean, it's just
everything. You hear the broadcasters yesterday talking about how good he is at poking the ball away.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've mentioned it. We've started getting on that bandwagon last year. He's just so athletically inclined, and he's smart. He's a smart player because he's not drawing a lot of fouls on those either. I think he drew one yesterday, but you know, at the end of the day, I think he's it's a skill. And you know, Benny, like you said, and Coach brings up a good point with the, you know, the media. I think it's probably more social media, but the actual media too is something that obviously is easily consumed. But I think, you know, social media, it can get in. These aren't grown men, okay? I mean, they're still young, right? They're still learning things. They're still. Are you shaking your head at that pick six? What are you shaking your head at?
And Tyreek Hill twisting his ankle again.
Oh, so they're not grown men yet. They have a lot of life experience. It's easy to be that age and be influenced and let that stuff get in your head. And I think some more than others. And you know, that makes a lot of sense. You know, if Coach is going to bring that up, then we kind of have an idea of what the hell is going on. So anyways, just good to see, like you said. It's good to see.
And to be perfectly honest with you, Benny, too, to me, I mean, finally, like, that was one of the first games where I've seen where it's like he realized his athleticism and his strength.
Dunking the ball.
Down low, you know what I mean? Just getting it and just dunking it, infinite, you know, doing stuff like that, going up and getting the ball. You know, when he's tuned in like that and he starts getting confident, then he made 6 of 10 field goals. You know, him and Malik, they did really good down low. And like you said, it was refreshing to see some of that stuff because we were worried about having any type of offensive down low presence. And, you know, we saw McLeod kind of struggle early on with that. And then losing Jesse, but Malik Brown, obviously, Coach has talked about he can obviously shoot a little bit farther out. He's got range, and I mean, the coach is saying that he can actually shoot three pointers all right. So he's been working on that, and you can just see he's just way more confident in trying to set himself up to get the ball. You know, yesterday, you know, sealing off his defender Federico to get a nice you know, nice easy layup, and you know, it's just. You see all these guys coming together and Copeland with the confidence, all those three guys, you know, Brown, Williams, and Copeland yesterday, the confidence, they played like starters. They played like starters yesterday. And that does not to say that Bell and Taylor and McLeod can't. It's just, as far as yesterday goes, it's nice to have that option.
It's like two different teams.
Yeah.
You got this team for this, you got this team for this.
Yeah, and it's not like Coach doesn't let him get back in there and try to, you know, figure it out, but you obviously saw McLeod in the first half. He got pulled after Diaz Graham, you know, he popped out off of a pick and shot a three, And then McLeod starts the second half, and he gives him a second chance and did the same thing again. They had to take him out. So it's just matchup situation. And like I said, Bell and Taylor, they really, I mean, weren't as successful out there with some of their, you know, shot-making ability that they have. So like you said, you know, if they're not hitting, then boom, Autry brings in the second team, and, you know, they come in and they provide a spark, and they provide a big defensive spark, I believe, too.
Yeah,
so I think absolutely. That's, to me personally, that's my, I mean, when you look at JJ and Judah with Malik and Benny and Copeland, to me that's going to be your best defensive lineup, your most athletic lineup that's going to run. And really, you know, you're just, what you're missing there is 3-point shooting. But like you said, when you can make it, when you can you get to the basket, you can finish around the rim, and then play that type of hectic defense, then as long as you just don't take a lot of 3-pointers, you know, fall in love with them.
17's a bit much when you're not hitting, but I mean, it didn't hurt. And at the end of the day, and when I saw it with 17, I didn't think it was. That didn't feel like 17. And normally it does, but it's because you go through these droughts. I think, you know, you go through these scoring droughts and you're just hooking up threes. That's when it feels like what it actually is. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
they changed enough in between hooking up threes and not being successful that they were actually still scoring, and that's the difference. That's not what we're used to seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, and oddly enough, I mean, there wasn't, I mean, 17, you know, Pittsburgh shot 25, but, I mean, a lot of those were bad shots. I mean, those are some of our worst shots, right, when we actually have to just kind of sit back and rely on a three-pointer or take an early three-pointer, especially with, you know, the driving ability, like the different things that Judah and Quadir Copeland and, like, J.J. Starling, you know, J.J. Starling, it's, he never really presses, you know. It's almost like he scores when he needs to. You know what I mean? And he only had 9 points, but I felt like they were all timely. Some drives where he scooped it up and got some easy layups. And then, like you said, clutch three near the end. So, yeah, it was a little sloppy. I think Judah was a little sloppy with the ball yesterday with 4 turnovers,
yeah.
And he fouled out. So again, he's got
to real quick though, like those refs, especially the first half of that game, they were terrible.
Really,
I didn't think they were good at all. That one, that fourth foul on Judah too, when they're going after the ball, and they call him for the foul. The dude ends up on top of Judah, and he gets called for. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
I just didn't think it was good. I don't think the officiating was terrible, but I don't think I think that there was definitely some obvious mistakes made.
Yeah, did you think that was a charge on Judah?
That
Blake
was
Hinson. That whole thing was a little back and forth.
If when you ask me that, I have to reverse roles. So if it's roles reversed, I say, man, it's close enough. You know,
mm-hmm.
His feet were planted. They were square. But that's so rare to get that positioning that fast and set.
Yeah.
That, you know, what are you going to do? You know?
Yeah.
So there was a block that they called the foul on. I just don't think it was that bad. I mean, I should write these things down. But there was a few things that to me, I wasn't.
Yeah, I think Chris Bell got fouled one time.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not complaining. At the end of the day, I didn't think it was that bad. It was mostly the first half. I just felt like it was, I mean, it got the crowd going. There was a couple of them that got the crowd going, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were drawing back and forth. And like I said, you know, Hinson hit a couple shots, and he was jawing back and forth with Kudir and Judah and stuff like that. And then they got up 11 at one point, and I was really nervous, really nervous.
I know, I was too. It was one of those that you feel like could just slip away, but it didn't. They came back a little bit to cut it closer at the towards the end of the half, and then picked it up in the second. So, anyways, all right, let's do some fan feedback, shall we? It's time to hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, it's that time of the show where we ask for your thoughts on the game. You give them, we talk about them, and then nothing. That's it, actually.
No, that's nothing, pretty much, I think, all that happens.
Nothing else happens. That's pretty much it, yes. All right, let's start with Twitter. Joe, I assume you've got Facebook pulled up, and you're ready for all that, correct?
Yeah, it's a great assumption.
Okay. Let's start with our boy, David, at David Super on the Twitter. He says, boys, Joe, Cuse, 75-73, Sean, 72-69. Great win. Again, love the bench energy. Bring on Duke. Yes. And David just popped in the spaces. Actually, he was at the game yesterday, too. So, nice. Looked like a guy's day out with him and his boys. So, yeah, I haven't even thought about the predictions, by the way. I don't even know where the hell they are, if those are correct or not.
Yeah, mine was correct.
Yeah, they're correct. Not bad. Not bad guesses by either one of us.
No, I got Pitt right on there.
Yeah. All right. So
we just scored a little bit more than I thought we were going to.
Yeah, well. At Catskill Joe, thoughts on the game? He asked me. Yes. Come on, Joe. You know the drill. I don't understand how this team got so sloppy at the end of the first half. The balls to overcome an 11-point deficit gives me hope they can go deep in the tourney. I mean, what was the Colgate? 24?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're no Pitt, but I'm just saying they've proven that they can do that. And they've gotten sloppy at the end of first halves and second halves in all three of their losses, especially during the Maui Invitational. Was sloppy at the end too, and I don't. They just got to work on that. Period. Just got to get better about it. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, when you play that aggressive to try to get steals and stuff like that, like there's going to be times where you might. You might give up an easy bucket, or times where it just gets sloppy. You know, there's a couple times where we threw the ball away trying to be too cute, or missed an easy layup because of that. I just think that as the season goes on, you just need to make sure that you learn from it. I felt like earlier in the season when it was sloppy and when things weren't going their way. Especially Judah and stuff, sometimes it was tough to come back from that. You know, it's just like that sloppy play and that bad play turned into a bad foul, turned into a bad shot the next offensive possession, trying to make up for it. It's a long game in basketball. You know, there's so many possessions, and it's just so, especially the way that we play now, not playing the 2-3 zone, but playing, pressure defense. We have so many opportunities to get steals and fast break points and way more possessions than we normally would compared to the way that we've played in previous years. So when you play like that, it's going to get sloppy. There's going to be frustration fouls. There's going to be the bad things that happen. And as long as we can keep our heads and we can get through that and understand that it's a long game and you just got to go to the next one. And I think that that's one of the biggest things that coach is dealing with this year with this team is having them forget about the play and keep the confidence to go on to the next play, the next game, the next half. And it looks like we're getting a lot better at that.
Yeah. Dan on Twitter, solid W, looked great from the stripe. Need to take care of the ball in crunch time. Yeah. I mean, if you Judah's usually automatic. If you add, he had two misses in a row,
yeah,
and if you take those out of it, I mean they're, ifs and buts are candy nuts. We all have a Merry Christmas. They still shot 80 with those misses, but solid. I mean you can't ask for more than that. Pitt left a ton of points on the line, 11 for 24.
That was the game.
Yeah, so they were not good from the line. They were actually awful. And yeah, I guess
they're real bad.
They're a really good rebounding team. Like coming into this game, I think they were like 16th in the country. But they're also not a great free throw shooting team, and kind of both of those things showed up a little bit. Yeah, I'm surprised Syracuse eked out the plus one in, on the glass, but I mean, look, yeah, it happens. And I was extremely worried about Hinson, and he only got 11, so they did an excellent job with him.
Well, and that's, I mean, obviously we are a team that, you know, we do switch and everything like that, but, you know, and this is just another kind of thing that you, some people overlook, because everyone wants to look at the box score and they want to look to see, you know, who's got the most points and everything like that. Like, I mean, there was three players on the bench that had more points than anybody that started. So, I mean, to that itself is good. But then you look at Quadir at 13 of 15 from the free throw line, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals with 22 points. And you look at all those stats and you're like, man, he like, and then when you actually go back and look at it even more, he was the guy guarding Blake Hinson. He was the one that was out there making sure that he wasn't getting those open shots from the 3-point line and everything, because what you spoke about in the pregame is Blake Hinson. I mean, 45 threes in 12 games. Now, that's almost four. That's almost, I think, was that 3.5 threes a game?
Yeah. Well, like, what did I say he was averaging? He's averaging like 20 points a game.
He was averaging 20 points a game, yes. And he was shooting, you know, 3-pointers in the 40%, you know, range, and had 15 more threes than anybody that's, you know, obviously on our roster, right? So, I mean, Copeland all around, I mean, that's game ball right there yesterday. Like, oh, easy game ball. And it's, you know, as much as Coach Autry says he does do some things, because that's just his game, you know. That his game is, you're going to get that 3-pointer and get fouled, and you're going to have that drive where he does the spin and finishes. And he had great finishes around the rim, and he's going to have great passes, and he's going to have steals and all that other stuff. But being able to just lock somebody up like that, dude, I mean, it's just crazy to me. And so many players have been talking about how good he's gotten in the confidence, and you could just see the confidence. I mean, I don't know what happens. I don't know if it is a situation where maybe he ends up breaking the starting lineup at some point. I don't think he has to be obviously a sixth man. We all remember Deion Waiters. But, I mean, you can't just look at the stats when you look at that game. And my dad, when I was watching yesterday, he kept talking about, look who's on Hinson. Look who's on Hinson. He's not making anything. He's not making it. And it was Quadir Copeland majority of the time. So, I mean, he won that game yesterday for us.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's a team effort, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, without a performance like that, it's a struggle, because, you know, you talk about locking someone down. Well, Mintz was held to 12 points, and he ended up fouling out of the game, although it was late. You know, the game was wrapped up pretty much for the most part, but still, you know, he had to sit for a little while. When he had, I can't remember if it was after his third or his fourth, but he had to sit for a little bit. So, you know, to be able to have a, that's probably old. That's probably an old highlight.
So, Interception?
No. I'm playing against Debo Samuels, and I just saw a touchdown.
I thought it was. Yeah. I think Isaiah Likely just scored for me, so I think I'm good. But yeah, no, I think with all that said, though, if Pittsburgh makes free throws, then this is still a game.
Yeah, well, absolutely, especially when it got, well, you know, I don't know if circumstances, what the circumstances would be at the end of that game as far as, you know, how everybody would be playing if the free throws were made. But with the sloppy play like that, would have been a disaster. And that sloppy play towards the end of the game and turning the ball over so easily like that, some long passes, and just like kind of like, I don't want to say showing off, but just taking for granted that the game is wrapped up, and then all of a sudden you're only up by 6, and it's looking like, you know, you could easily get waxed. You know,
that happens.
Yeah. So, all right, let's see what else we got here. At Oil Q, our buddy Captain Patrick, Pitt freaking sucks almost as much as those extremely pro Pitt announcers. Copeland is getting more and more confident each game, and I love it. We need to figure out a way to hit more 3-point shots. Joe is nasty. AF. I was wondering if he was going to sign it. Kwadir Copeland, I think, in the last four games, is now averaging almost, it's like, it's over 15 points a game. And coming into before those, the last four games, I think it was around 11. So, I mean, the past four games, and we talked about it after the damn first game, that where he really had a breakout game, and you know, we were like, well, man, if he can keep it consistent and he can play like this, that's going to be something, right? So,
right.
And he's done it for four games, and that game, that was the Georgetown game, and then he went on to Oregon, and he killed it there, and then, you know, Niagara's Niagara, whatever, but, and then yesterday against Pitt, and, you know, I couldn't be happier, and all I want to see is consistency, and he's been hitting the consistency.
So. Well, and that's right. That's where you come from. Like, beginning of the year, we were talking about this and people, you know, roles and what to expect from certain people. And we knew that there were certain players that we didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I think we knew a baseline of like what to expect from Malik Brown. Right. But, you know, we also assumed that he was going to, you know, take a step forward and have some growth. And I think to a certain extent, all of the freshmen have, as far as everybody that's returned from last year. I think that I see, you know, improvement in all of their games, whether it's just being stronger and getting rebounds or being able to do some. I mean, I've seen even Chris Bell go to the rim, and, you know, he had a drive yesterday and finished. He's been finishing around the rim. Justin Taylor's been playing strong on defense and getting rebounds against guys bigger than him. So they all took a little bit of a step up, but now we didn't know what to expect from like a Chris Bell or a Taylor, and we're still trying to figure it out, or a Naheem McLeod, or even a Benny at this point, right? And I think Kwadir was in that category, and I think now I think that we can put Kwadir in the Malik Brown category of, we have expectations. This is just what he does now,
right?
And this is something that we should be expecting pretty much every game.
We've come accustomed to.
Well, I mean, you know, some people have, you know, every day is not going to be your game, you know, but I think that it's basically, even yesterday, if he didn't score and he wasn't making the free throws and getting to the line like that, just his presence of taking Blake Hinson out of the game the way that he did on defense would have been enough for me. So
at Keller 0103, who would you rather have come off your bench? It's funny because you just mentioned this not long ago. Deion Waiters or Kwadir Copeland?
Oh. Oh, man.
It's a tough one, right? But, hey, he was, you know, he was right in the line of thinking there. With that.
I mean, different kind of games, but the mentality, like, they're both dogs, you know, they're not afraid of anything. They have their confidence regardless. I don't know if he's at the Deion Waiters
level
yet, especially considering the jump shot that Deion Waiters had.
Yeah.
But again, we saw him make a three and shoot those free throws. He was 13 of 15 from the free throw line. And, you know, coach has said that he has been shooting it better from the 3-point line. So if that turns around, you know, then we might have a conversation, you know, long season. If you remember, Deion Waiters, you know, obviously didn't start as a freshman, and even as a sophomore, he didn't. And there was a back and forth even earlier in the season, and not until really, you know, mid-season did we see Deion Waiters in full beast mode, confidence mode, just coming off the bench and taking over games at some points and finishing games, you know. So it's a good problem to have. You have a six man coming off the bench like that.
Yeah, and in the three hit, that was his first three of the year. I mean, he's 1 for 11. So, you know,
right.
I mean, but he does, you know, he's out there. He's grabbing boards. In fact, he's leading the team with rebounds per game. So, I mean, he is. He's coming into his own, and it's a blast to watch, to say the least. You got anything from?
Yeah, I got a couple. Boy Zach.
Top fan Zach or Boy Zach? Here we go.
Um, So he says, well, thank God John Wildhack made the right call. Turns out Coach Red is a pretty damn good head coach. That felt like an actual old school Big East game. It was relieving to see them realize and scrap and just chucking threes and actually focus on attacking the paint. Don't be fooled. This is a very good Pitt team.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a comment I saw, and I can't find it now. I think it's on Twitter. It has to be on Twitter. It's the only place I go.
Right.
It said something to the effect of, here it is, at Terry Keys. It's only Pitt. I think this was a quad two win. And I mean, you can look at who they've played, but we came into this game the same exact record, 9-3 and 0-1.
Right.
And obviously, you know, it's early in the season, so it's a little bit hard to tell, but this was it's a quad two win. I expect it to hold at least there. And this Pitt team's pretty decent. I mean, it's not a bad team. So it's only Pitt is, you know, I say Pitt sucks. I say Boston College sucks at the end, you know, at the end of these games because
they're rivals.
Because they're rivals.
And they're old Big East rivals. I remember back in the day. Remember the orange buttons?
Oh yeah,
all I got the different slogans.
I got a board of them back here.
So like those teams were on that, right? So and Pittsburgh, Boston College are just old Big East rivals, but it just happens to be like especially. I mean. Dude, I don't know if you've looked. Boston College is 9-3. They're not that bad either this year.
No, so, and I mean,
and Pittsburgh has been good for a couple years. I think that we saw exactly what you know. We knew. We knew that they had good big guys. You know, we knew Jeffress was, a good defensive guy. We knew that, you know, the Diaz, Graham, Guillermo, and Blake Hinson and Federico. We know that they're capable. We know that they're big. We knew that they were going to get offensive rebounds down there. But what did we question? We questioned the guard play. And to be perfectly honest with you, those guys, they surprised me. The freshmen surprised me. Lowe came in the second half, and he looked like a very promising point guard. Carrington, that freshman, and I didn't know that he was so highly rated and that, you know, scouts are talking about him possibly being – in the draft after this year, and you could definitely see flashes of that. So he's not as good as he's going to be by the end of the year either. So and then even Leggett. So we talked about the guards for this team, getting a little bit into, you know, because they're new, playing with each other is going to take a little while versus the older guards that played last year. And to be perfectly honest with you, I'm glad that we're playing them this early in the season. Especially, you know, I think we play them the second game January 16th. So it's not long. And I'm glad that we're playing them twice early in the season because I think that this Pitt team is going to be a lot better when it comes down to, you know, ACC tournament play. You get down around that time. So,
yeah, it's the 16th, Tuesday at 7. So, to Zach's other point, though, which I don't even know if we talked about, but in regards to Coach Autry and kind of what he's doing, we're seeing some different style of coaching, using more guys, you know, switching off of the zone quite a bit. And, you know, Jim Boeheim is just, he is kind of like that old school mentality. Like it's just a fresher look at basketball. Like yep. when the game changed, it's obvious the past few years it kind of slipped away from Coach Boeheim, but that's not to say, you know, he didn't know what the hell he was doing. I just feel like this is how it needs to be, and not for anything. Like he's got the players for it too.
And that's really the thing, right? I think that also, you know, when you look back at it, it almost looked to me like Boeheim. Like there was almost like a program or a protocol that you had to go by, right? Like they wanted certain plays in there, certain rotations. They always kind of stayed the same, and not every player had the freedom to be able to do certain things. I do feel like Coach Red has a little bit of a longer leash when it comes to allowing these players to. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, how many plays has there been this year by Quadir Copeland where, I mean, Boeheim would have completely taken him out if you would have went in and made a mistake or anything like that, versus maybe realizing that this is part of his game and that, you know, there's three or four great plays that come with every really, really bad play when it comes to Kwadir, right? So, I mean, just giving these guys the freedoms to play and play loose and do, you know, do what when he knows that they can do and he's shown in practice versus stick with the same five, six, seven people and the certain only certain amount of people are allowed to shoot certain shots and this is what I want to try to do. I just think there's a lot more freedom when it comes to that stuff. So, and of course, playing man-to-man, right? Getting out of the 2-3 zone and having the athletes to play this way. Not every team has these athletes and are this deep to do this. So you got to take advantage of what you got, for sure.
You got anything else?
Coach Jeff.
Oh, our guy. Yeah.
There's a little back and forth with Zach Shea, and this kind of goes to a little bit of what we were just speaking about. He says, the bad, poor shot selection. There were some bad shot selection. But to be perfectly honest with you, I mean, if that's the bad and that's what we're reaching for, then it was a pretty good day, right? Yeah. And the good, Benny hustled more than I've seen in a long time. A few poor shot selections, but hustle earned PT. Zach Shea comes back and says, have to also mention Copeland. He is the one that gets the game ball. And then Coach Jeff comes back and says, I guess because I expect that out of him. He is the spark plug they need. I like him as the first guard off the bench. His motor doesn't stop. He is the textbook player. Or is he the textbook player? No, but he makes things happen. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, just a little conversation between what we just talked about, right? Like,
I would agree. Like you just said it not too long ago. Like, this is what we expect now. And it'd be like, you know, giving Judah the game ball when maybe Justin Taylor goes off one game and doesn't have as many points. But, you know, Benny was suspended for 3 games. He was on the bench. He was playing and like not getting any playing time. He was sitting on the bench. He was moping. His body language is terrible. Past couple games to come out, we see him making, you know, growing a little bit into this, to the role that he's hopefully, I hope that, you know, he stays here and develops it. But, you know, at one point in time, you and I were thinking, does he even want to be here? Like,
well, I mean, but it's a legit question to answer when you see his body language. Well, he didn't look like he wanted to be here. I'm not blind,
but
right?
To see him come out,
everybody saw it.
Right, and see him come out and play like that and put up 15 points and have the energy he had and, you know, 7 rebounds too. So, I mean,
7 rebounds, but also, I mean, to me, too, it was that we've seen him pull up and make little bank shots and make little mid-range jumpers.
Yeah.
But it was like his being deliberate to get to the basket and dunk, finish. Don't, you know, in the past, he was just soft putting it up there around the basket. And it was like, you know, why is this power forward trying to play like a shooting guard and just shoot just threes and do all these, right? And it's like, dude, you're 6'8", 6'9". You have freakish athletes. Just yonk that. Like, just take it and, you know? And yesterday was like the first time that it looked like he actually did it, like, the whole game. And he did that pump fake and then moved and then just went up and dunked on dude. And even that pass that he had to Malik Brown when he was underneath the basket and left it off for him because he realized he was getting double teamed so he could get a dunk. I mean, that type of stuff, if we can get that stuff on the regular, then you're talking bonus stuff that we didn't even think, you know, we were going to get this year. So, I mean, those type of plays got me excited because I've seen Kwadir and JJ and Judah and all this, some of these guys, what they can do. But for Benny doing that and looking like, you know, he was completely in the game, was very, very, I mean, it's going to be, because we know what level that takes our team. If he could actually be that player that he was yesterday, every game.
And, you know, we're just to update, because it was mentioned in the presser, but we didn't talk about it. I didn't put it in there. Was the, I think Donna asked Coach about Chance again, and we don't know. So he hopes to have him practicing soon, but he's still going through PT and whatnot. So, you know, it's okay though. It's okay. I mean, you know, but we were told, you know, we were told a few weeks ago that'd be like a few weeks to a month. So, you know,
yeah, I mean,
figure, look, it's time to update that. And
I guess my whole thing is at this point, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, obviously, in the future as we go through ACC play, because we've seen situations where starters get moved and minutes get moved and stuff like that. But can you imagine him just kind of getting thrown in there in the middle of February? Like, oh, I'm healthy now. And then you got to try to figure out the minutes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not going to be something that happens that way, I don't think. It's going to just be sprinkled in. And then eventually, hopefully by the end of the year, he's going in and acclimating to everything. But I don't even know if
but is matters. That worth
it? I'm not trying to say, right? Yeah, I know. Do you just medically redshirt and just in wait till next year? And like I said, I don't know if it matters. I think more or less fans are just excited to see him on the court. That's all.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, you always want to see a guy come back, right? And at least know, maybe get a little bit of a glimpse of what you're going to get next year, right?
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. So I got a couple more.
Joy.
Just roll through it. Top fan, Jesse, great win. We cleaned up.
You can talk over the clapping, Joe.
Great win. We've cleaned up a lot of our sloppy mistakes. How do we fix Naheem from getting lost out on perimeter off pick and pops, beat Duke, and get ranked?
I don't think you can fix him right now. He's just going to have to get better. I mean, there's plan B. So that's and that's good. That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, is Malik going to be able to carry the load against everybody? You know, I mean, is he going to be able to handle a Filipowski?
Well, that's thing. There's a couple other. There's a homeboy for Clemson,
PJ Hall.
PJ Hall, yeah. So,
dude at Boston College,
yeah,
isn't bad either.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then to go kind of off that, there's a little bit of something in here that kind of goes off the, you know, the Naheem, but great game. One official, Clarence, decided he would influence the game. Got motivation at the half. Even Benny stepped up. Wonder why Hema does not get minutes. Take a nice win. Get ready for Duke.
Yeah, so, I don't have an answer about Hema. He had a couple good, you know, he had some good minutes in the game not too long ago. I don't remember what it was. Was it Georgetown? I can't remember. But, you know, I don't know if that's the answer either.
Well, I don't know if he can do that either, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Exactly.
Because especially in a situation, I mean, let's be honest. Like, Diaz Graham is, I mean, he's still just a sophomore, and he's a 7-footer that can dribble. He's athletic. He can shoot threes. That's going to be tough for any type of, I mean, unless you are a super nimble center, now that is going to be tough guard for anybody. I think Naheem McLeod or Hema would definitely have a problem with that. So just glad that Copeland could kind of take that. So, and then I think going off of, well, we got one, Brandon, 10-3. Yeah, happy new year. And the scary thing is this team is just learning how good they can be, which I agree with. And, you know, obviously they got to stay together as they maneuver through these different games, these different matchups, and these different amount of minutes that all these guys are going to get. Because, you know, like I said earlier, sometimes that can hurt confidence, and it can get, you know, people in their feelings, you know, oh, I'm a starter, but I'm not playing starter minutes type thing. As long as coaches can keep them as a team and say, hey, look, you all got a role to play, and when your number's called, just get in there and play hard, and people not get in their feelings about stuff, you know, I think Benny's looked like he's overcame it, and just hopefully nobody else kind of catches that bug for the rest of the season, and we can stay positive. And then I think probably the last one, and what we were talking about, Chuck Allen, Copeland, Brown, and Benny deserve those starting positions. Benny, when he is in the game, is another energy boost, just like Quadir. Great job again by these three. So,
I mean, someone can have those opinions.
I mean, you can have those opinions, but at the end of the day, what's the difference between whether they?
Maybe there's games where they do start. That is. But what I'm saying is
that, I mean, whether they start or they play starter minutes, right? because they all played starter minutes. But they had 24 minutes, 24 minutes, and 31 from Malik Brown. Mm-hmm. So to, you know, Chris Bell's 19, Justin Taylor's 15, and Nyheim McLeod's 9. So I guess my question is, you know, obviously, like, you know, they might not start, but they're getting more minutes than anybody else, right? So they're getting starter minutes, and I'm cool with that. So again, why do you want to take away that beginning of, like, what we spoke about? What if Justin Taylor or Chris Bell, they come out? We've seen Chris Bell get hot. We've seen what we can do, you know? And, you know, why not come out? And it's not like they play awful defense. They play hard. Like, why not come out and see if they're on, see what's going on offensively with them? And if they're on, then ride that wave, you know? But as soon as things start going away, then obviously you're going to pull the cord and get the backups in so you can get that next kind of boost off the bench. So
let's move on.
I just love the boost off the bench. I love the fact that we got guys off the bench that could be starters for other schools, you know, and just having these type of options. It's really exciting because we got a lot of guys that can step up and do different things. And that usually ends up being a pretty dangerous team come March.
Are you done?
No.
How about Duke?
Sorry, man. I'm excited.
I know. How about Duke?
How about him?
So this Tuesday at 9 o'clock.
Ugh.
Yeah, Syracuse will take on Duke. The all-time series between Syracuse and Duke sits at 15-6 in favor of the Blue Devils. Duke's currently on an 8-game winning streak against Syracuse, 10 out of the last 11. Got to go back to January 2019 for the last time the Orange beat Duke. A battle with 30 ties, battle with 32 points in that game. It was a 95-91 win at Cameron Indoor. It was the first and only time Duke has ever lost at home against an unranked team when they were ranked first in the nation. So I will continue to say that every time, every year we go through this. Last year, Mintz, Gerard, Edwards, Bell, and Brown, your starting five in the 77-55 loss. Gerard with 21 points. This, according to orangehoops.org, the Syracuse Orange men and the Duke Blue Devils first met in the Elite Eight in 1996 NCAA tournament. The number two ranked Blue Devils would win that game 91-81. Syracuse and Duke first met in the ACC game in February 2014 in front of a record crowd at the time. The Orange would win that game in overtime 91-89. I think I remember that. I remember exactly where I was, actually, and watching that game. The two teams would play 3 weeks later, with Duke winning on a controversial charging call on CJ Fair. I think we all remember where we were when we saw that one, too. That would be the first and only game Jim Boeheim's career that he was ejected. And that was the game. That was the game. All that from reminding us from orangehoops.org. Duke currently sits 9-3, 0-1 in the ACC. They lost to Arizona, who's currently fourth in the country. They lost to Arkansas and they lost to Georgia Tech. They did beat a Michigan State team that was ranked at the time. They were ranked 18th. However, the Spartans, they're no longer ranked. And Baylor team that is currently right now 17th in the country. So they have five guys averaging double figures. And obviously, Filipowski leads the way here with 18 points a game. He also leads the team in rebounds with 8.8, steals with 1.4, and blocks with 2. Jeremy Roach follows him up with 14.3 points a game. He's also hitting 42% from behind the arc. Jared McCain, he's got 11.7 points a game, and he's hitting 44.8% from behind the arc. And then Mark Mitchell, 11.2, and Proctor with 10.1. Those are your five big scorers there. As a team, they're shooting 49.4% from the floor, 73.8 from the line, and 36.5 as a team from three. They're averaging 36.3 rebounds a game and 83.3 points a game. So I there's no, like, real question who Duke is. Duke is Kyle Filipowski. The dude's leading all but one major category for their team. And he's an animal. And he's only a sophomore, and he's already, if you compare his numbers to last year, percentage-wise, he's ahead in almost every aspect. So, you know, someone who's getting only better than he was last year. And he's a problem. And then Jeremy Roach, he can light you up from behind the line, and that always worries me, although I was just as worried when we're sitting here talking about Hinson in the last game. So, you know, who knows? Who knows what happens there? But believe me, they're going to try it. And also the inside game. When you talk about McLeod trying to cover a Filipowski who can also shoot, that's not going to be something that can happen. And so now you're not stuck, but you got Malik Brown in here, in there. And like you mentioned, Joe, just a minute ago, is he going to be able to do it? So that's the conundrum. And you're at Cameron Indoor.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of things that are, you know, positives to really talk about when it comes to that, other than the resiliency that Syracuse has showed that they have the past few games, the whole year, really. But with that said, Duke is Duke, and they have our freaking number, too. Which is totally obnoxious.
Yeah. No, it is. And realistically, like, again, there's some guys that obviously pose some issues. And we're just going to have to, figure it out. They're deep. They're very deep. Proctor, who has been hurt, he got hurt in the Georgia Tech game. He just came back against their game against Queens, yesterday, which I don't know why they're playing a team like that, but
I don't either. Wait, let's talk about that for just 1 second. Queens of North Carolina. Is that why? Because it's another North Carolina team. I don't know. I think they're from the Charlotte area. So, you know,
Queens University Royals. Yeah.
It's in the Charlotte area, I think. But okay. That's the only reason I see them playing that team, but it's not like they had a cushy non-conference schedule. It's just happens to be one really cushy team. I mean, they just had a field day yesterday, and they were up in three in triple digits, and just kind of.
Yeah, I think this, and again, it's more of, I think this is their first year in Division I. They're in the Atlantic Sun Conference. First I kind of heard of them. I really never heard this. I honestly, when I saw it, I thought it was just the New York. I thought it was a team in New York.
So. That's what I thought.
And then I'm looking at it. I'm like, why are they playing this team? It's not even Division I. But now I see that they're in the Atlantic Sun, like Florida Gulf Coast and those guys. So obviously this has got to be their first year in Division I. And Duke beat them by almost 40 points. But Proctor came back. And it's just, I think – you know, Duke, they get all these guys. I mean, they got Caleb Foster, who's a freshman. They got Proctor, who's a freshman. Jared McCain, who's a freshman, who can shoot. And then TJ Power, who's a freshman. I mean, they got a great freshman class that came in with Mitchell and Filipowski. You know, their power forward and center that came back. So, and Jeremy Roach.
Proctor was there last year.
Oh yeah, that's right. Proctor was there. Yeah, it's McCain is the big one. Yeah. Is the score as far as true freshman goes. But again, we got athletic guys. I mean, we got guys that can guard those guards. And I think a lot of it is going to be, can we stop Filipowski? And then really, obviously, can we kind of just, you know, stay even on the boards? I think that we're going to be able to get some turnovers and things like that. So, this is honestly a Duke team that I think that we kind of match up with this team like better, and especially now with the way that we play in our roster than we have in the past. So I think it's going to be an interesting game, man. I don't see a blowout. Let's just put it that way.
I really hope not, and I'm cautiously optimistic about this game, and the only reason – I just – Duke always just worries me. Just there's a number of reasons. I'm not even going to go through them. They are who they are, and it is what it is. But at the end of the day, you got to go out and play basketball, and thank God I'm not the one that's had to turn the mentality on to just go play. But that's why these guys do it. I think they can. And look, did we think we were going to go beat them that year when we had Tyus Battle and all those guys out there and going into Cameron Indoor to a ranked, a number one ranked Duke team and beating them in their own place? No, not at all. So
Or the year we had Gillen and we didn't even make the damn NCAA tournament.
Yeah, that was the John Gillen beat Duke call by Matt Park, which is like one of my all time favorite calls ever. So yeah, and I mean, look, that's why we play the game. It's just nerve wracking, and you know, Filipowski's a problem, and that's kind of it. I just think that this team. This team's got a better shot than we've had in the past. What did I say? They're on an 8-game win streak. They're on an 8-game win streak, and they've won 10 out of the last 11. So
yeah,
in the past 8 games, I feel like this is realistically a better option than the past 8 games we've played them. So let's just put it that way. If not for anything, I feel like we got a better shot than we've had. So.
Well, and I mean, you can argue that we've already played, you know, 2 or 3 teams that might be better than this team. Definitely comparable. So again, I mean, you want to be in a position, right, where you're preseason ranked and you're ranked and they're talking about you and everything. And that's where we used to be. I'd love for this to be two ranked teams playing against each other. But I mean, when you look at it, this is a quad one game. We get to go in, we get a chance to use our momentum and possibly get a quad one victory, which I don't even know. Did we even get one last year?
No, we haven't even had one in the last 2 years.
It's
been more than 2 years.
So realistically, I mean, you know, I mean, this is one of the better chances that we've probably had in 2 years. So go in there. We're playing with house money. This loss, as much as I want to beat Duke,
it's not going to hurt us.
It's not going to hurt us. We just got this quad two win against Pitt. I care a lot more about getting that win than this one, although this one would be a lot sweeter. So just like the Virginia and the Tennessee and the Gonzaga, if we go on the road and lose to Duke, this is not going to hurt our NCAA chances. It's just an opportunity to – I mean, we go out and win this game, we're probably going to be ranked the next week.
I think Oregon was a quad two – game two, or was it Georgetown? But there's two quad two wins in the books right now. And I don't, obviously these are fluid, and you've got to keep an eye on them. Georgetown not looking great, not looking as good as we thought they would. So, you know, thankfully, thank God we won that game, because they really don't look good. But you know, Oregon's not bad, dude. They're first in the Pac-12, and they're 10-3, and I think that must have been the one that was a quad two, by the way. So,
okay.
So you know, to have two quad two wins in the past 3 games, that's good. You know, we weren't doing that last year. So
no, we were losing to Colgate and Bryant the year before.
Colgate and Bryant was last year. Oh, God, yeah, that was terrible.
No, yeah.
So anyway, yeah. Oh man, how sweet it would have been to play Bryant this year. Man, you can't have it all.
That coach,
I forget his name now, but what, he was just such a prick, that guy, such a prick. So
yeah,
anyway, all right, do we want to talk about this here? Do we want to talk about 72-69? What did you have, Joe? You had 75-73, and you're gonna get it, obviously. Actually, how did we do this again?
I don't even remember.
I don't either.
We're both very close.
Yeah, we're both close. Who cares? We're not keeping track. We're not keeping track for basketball season. It's too much anyways.
Yeah, it's way too much.
It is. It's too much. But we will give our predictions. And I would have freaking asked on the tweets about it. But let's see, Joe. I went first last time. We'll just take turns, okay? You go ahead.
Yeah, we can do that.
Go ahead. You go first.
I'm going to say that Duke gets us. I'm going to say Duke gets us 78-77.
What?
Okay. I think it's going to be a great game.
I'm hoping for a good game as well. And, you know, I think, let me just check one thing real quick while I try to stall, which I should have already checked. Come on. Of course.
By the way, Nacua just got like an 80-yard pass.
Did he really? Did he really?
Not for a touchdown. He got tackled in like the 4-yard line.
Yeah, I already saw those points added.
Okay, there you go.
Playing my son in the championship game isn't as bad as it could be playing someone I don't love. So if I'm gonna lose to someone and it's my son, then it is what it is. But
you just have to endure a little bit of shit talking for a little while, right? Like,
well, he's already shit talked me, so that's already happening. Which,
well, there's a different kind of like pre-game shit talk versus post-game, right?
Yeah,
because post-game is permanent.
Yeah. And you know how sweet it would be if the old man could you know hang his hat on a championship beating his kid. So anyway,
I mean, be easy. Phrasing, buddy. I'm just saying.
I don't talk shit.
And I'm just saying, if someone would have came into that comment late, then they would have just heard you say beating your kid. So I'm just...
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, fair enough.
Be careful. Be careful.
I'm going to say Duke is going to... they're going to beat us at home. They're ranked 16th. They're scarier than they were last year, although I do think our team's better as well. We're scarier too. But I think they win 85-78. And like you said, Joe, it's just I want a good game. You know, it's back to my be competitive mentality. I just want to be competitive. And we've been, you know, you go back to the beginning of the year when we played Tennessee and Gonzaga, you know, the final scores in those games didn't really indicate how those games really went. I feel like Syracuse really did put up a good fight in both of those games throughout the game. And they lost at the end of halves. And to our points that we were talking about earlier, it's just, the final score didn't show, I think, what those were. But, I mean, hopefully they can clean some of that up and just be competitive throughout and have a shot. That's all I ask for.
Yeah. So I mean, this whole year has just been, I mean, interesting. Like, you look at it, like, do you think – because I always think about it, right? Like, these other teams, like, they play all these other teams that play man. But, like, so now this year we're not playing 2-3 zone. We're playing man. Do you think that, like, messes with certain people that are used to, like, playing against our 2-3 zone? Or
I mean, who's really played a lot against it at this point?
As far as on Duke?
As far as on Duke, yeah. That's a young team. Roach, maybe. He's been there a while. But I don't think that there's anyone else that's really – been there
for more than 2 years.
Yeah,
I know.
So
yeah,
and you know they're used to. If anything, they might be able to throw them for a loop to play it and play it well. But I think what coach does with switching on and off is brilliant, and you know the hybrid scheme is something that we haven't had, and I think it's given us life on defense just in general. So it seems to be like it's working. So,
oh yeah.
I don't think there's anyone there that's going to be affected by any of that. They will be affected by a better defense though. That's my hopes. So,
yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I mean, that's the one thing that I felt like kind of hurt us in the past is when we play 2-3 zone, there's some teams that, you know, if you played man, some of those guys are limited, you know, but there's some teams that they just got those spot up shooters that when they play against a 2-3 zone, they can really benefit and they could take advantage of that defense. So, when you're one dimensional and you're a better shooter than you are driver, and then you play against a 2-3 zone, it's just like, you're just like salivating at the mouth, just waiting for your chance because you know you're just going to get all these open shots, right? If you move the ball around good enough. And I think that guys like that have always, you know, we always used to talk about that, right? Like that one rando guy that just went off from the other team not even that good, right? Well, maybe because he's not great at driving the ball and he's one dimensional, you know, shooter. And when he plays against man to man, you know, defenders, they take away the jump shot and they try to force him to drive. Then all of a sudden we put 2-3 zone and these guys are splashing threes in our eyes and they have a career high against us. So just nice to know that those days are kind of over. It's a lot harder for teams to get buckets against us playing man. And I don't know. I don't want to go in hindsight and talk about how long ago we should have maybe switched it or made the switch or whatever, but I'm just glad that it's here now because, again, this year it's refreshing than watching the same old for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That, again.
Sorry, Jim.
It's going to do it for us. Look, hey, appreciate everyone in the spaces. Appreciate everybody for listening. And we got Duke coming up. Go Orange. And then who's the next one? I'm on the wrong page. Me jacking it up here. Hold on, because I saw a blip in the schedule again.
Boston College.
It's Duke, and then like a week off again.
A week off till Wednesday. Yep.
So, and then Boston College. So we'll be back here after Duke, and then to talk about Duke, and we'll see what's going on with Boston College during that time, and go from there. So, anyways, we will try to see you back here Wednesday.
Now you timed that pretty good.
Huh?
Peace.
We'll see you Wednesday for Jones Farmer Out.